collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered off his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went off to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So you've probably heard this story before. My question for you is, what is the title of this story? We have a few options up on the screen. Is it A, The Two Lost Sons? Or is it B, The Story of Two Sons and Their Father? Or C, The Prodigal Son? Or D, something that's not even listed there? All right, who thinks A, The Two Lost Sons? Okay. Who thinks B, The Story of Two Sons and Their Father? Okay. Who thinks C, The Prodigal Son? The most hands, okay. Who has another great idea? Yeah. Say it again. An All-Loving Father, okay. Any other miscellaneous titles? Yeah. All of the above. There you go. Good. And that is actually true, Craig, because each of these titles that have been given to this story are from one place or another that I've been reading about. C, The Prodigal Son, is what you'll find when you open up your NIV translation Bible to Luke chapter 15. And there in the heading is, right above verse 11, it says, The Prodigal Son. And so if you grew up in church and you went to Sunday school, that was probably one of the papers you brought home. It said, The Prodigal Son, and this is the story that you read. Tim Keller calls this story, it's actually not the prodigal son. He says it's about two lost sons. It's not just one lost son, but both of those sons appear to me to be lost. Henry Nouwen, in his more of a devotional type story about the prodigal son, says, I don't think we can leave out the father. I think it's the story of two sons and their father. And I'm sure there are numerous other titles given to this particular story. I think how you title the story does say something about what you think is important about the story. What's the focus? What do we need to learn? What do we need to know about what this story says? The most common answer, I think, is the prodigal son. But that word prodigal rolls off our tongue so quickly without even asking ourselves, what does prodigal actually mean? The definition of prodigal means one who has spent everything. Someone who has spent everything. Who is prodigal in this story? Well, instantly we would say, well, that younger son, look what he does. First of all, this younger son comes to his father and he says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now, literally, when this son does that, in that culture, he is saying to him, first of all, I consider you dead. You are dead to me. Because the only time that this father's estate would be divided and split up amongst his sons was after the father had died. So by this younger son going to his father and saying, give me my share of the estate, it means, I don't even care if you're alive anymore. You are dead to me. Just give me what is mine. Extremely, extremely disrespectful. Can you imagine how painful that must have been for the father? To have his son come to him and basically say, you are dead to me. I don't need you anymore. Not only that, but when the younger son comes to the father and says, give me my share of the estate, and the father divides his property between them, the word there for property is literally life. The father is literally dividing his life between them. Why? Well, this father was a wealthy landowner, but his money was not sitting in the Old Kent Bank somewhere. His money is in the land. And so in order for him to give his son the money, give him what he owes him in terms of coins, he had to sell off his land. But when he sells off his land, he no longer has land but to which grow crops, to sell things, to eat, to have support his family and his servants. He's literally giving him his life, the things that sustain his life. What type of father would do that to a son who is so disrespectful? What type of father would spend everything for his son? The father in this story is God. And the story is about God's relationship with his children, with his people. What type of God would act this way? What type of God would, when their children were being so disrespectful and turning their backs, would still spend everything on them? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And not just his son, but he gave his son's life. He spent everything. He gave sacrificially. He gave of his own life because he so loved the world. 1 John, what's the next slide? 1 John 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father lavished on us. Isn't that a great word? Lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. What type of God would do this? What type of God would be this way? A prodigal God. A God who is willing to spend everything on behalf of the children that he loves so very much. then what does this son do to this prodigal father? This father who's willing to give him so much of his life, what does the son do with it? He takes the inheritance, and the Bible tells us after some time, he leaves for a distant country. He walks away. He leaves home. He leaves this father that loves him so much. He walks away from this prodigal father who's willing to sacrifice and spend so much on behalf of his son. The son walks away. Henry Nouwen says this about it. Leaving home is, then, much more than a historical event bound to a time and a place. Leaving home is the denial of spiritual reality that I belong to God with every part of my being, that God holds me safe in an eternal embrace, that I am indeed carved in the palm of God's hand and hidden in their shadows. Leaving home means ignoring the truth that God has fashioned me in secret, molded me in the depths of the earth, and knitted me together in my mother's womb. Leaving home is living as though I do not yet have a home and must look far and wide to find one. Yet over and over again, I have left home. I have fled the hands of blessing and run off to faraway places searching for love. This is the great tragedy of my life and of the lives of so many I meet on my journey. Somehow they have become deaf to that voice that calls me beloved. They have left the only place where they can hear that voice. They have gone off desperately, hoping to find somewhere else that they could call home. What does the younger son do? He doesn't hear. He can't tell that the father loves him so much. He doesn't see that love. He closes his ears to it. He's so focused on something else that he takes what the father gives him and leaves home. He doesn't hear his father's voice that says, I love you. I will do everything for you. I will sacrifice my life for you. And so he leaves home. Where are we in this story? Where are we with a prodigal God? A God who has sacrificed so much on our behalf. A God who has spent everything, who has given his own life on our behalf because he loves us so much. And yet, how often do we take those goods, those blessings, those gifts that God has given us and leave home? How often do we turn our back on that prodigal God, that loving God, that faithful God, because we can't hear how much he loves us? God never stops communicating that love to us. He shows it to us through his continual sustaining of creation. He shows it to us through the love of a community surrounding us. He shows it to us through his care, through his grace, his mercy, his peace. The love and hope and joy that you can only find in him. He's communicating that to us all the time. But God's voice is not a real loud voice. God's voice is not there with a megaphone in your ear when you wake up in the morning. The Bible gives so many examples of telling us how God's voice is actually a quiet voice. It is a still, small voice. And to hear that voice, to hear how much God loves you, sometimes we need to set aside the other things in our lives that are overpowering God's voice. I think about this younger son and the call of the world, the call to go out and explore new places, to spend his money, to kind of be the popular guy in town for a while, to hang out with prostitutes. The world was calling to him louder than his father was calling. And so we left home. What calls to us louder than God is calling? There's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot in our life that calls to us louder, and so we leave home not realizing that we are walking away from a God who loves us lavishly, who has been prodigal with us, who has spent everything on our behalf. We go searching for something else and don't find it. This is the God of this story. This is the God who loves you this morning. He is a prodigal God. He has spent everything on your behalf. And he asks that you set aside those things that are speaking to you louder and hear his voice this morning to you. Hear his voice that says, I love you. You are my beloved child. I have sent my son on your behalf. I have spent my life on your behalf. Come to me. I love you. Lord God, when we consider what you have done for us, who are we to even come and ask? Who are we to even come to you and ask for such an amazing gift? And yet you give it to us, not because of what we've earned, but just because you love us. Lord, you've given us the gift of your Son. You've given us the gift of peace and hope and joy and love. And we pray, Lord, that this morning that you open up our ears to hear you, to hear you say that you love us. Open up our eyes to see the sacrifice that you've made on our behalf. May we see who you are, Lord. And may we not take that love or those gifts for granted. May we find you and seek you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.